It is 10:50. The Eureka Police, according to the Time Standard, they arrested, well, the Time Standard, they're saying 6 to 8 people, but I was just on the phone with Merle Harpum, the interim police chief over in Eureka, and he says that they arrested 13, so we'll say 13. This morning, after they apparently failed to comply with officers' orders to vacate the Occupy Eureka encampment on the courthouse, and now on the phone is someone who was out there, Alex Fruk, and he's over there at the courthouse right now. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you. Good morning.
And what time did you show up there this morning over at the courthouse?
I showed up about 4 o'clock. I had been notified about 15 minutes prior to that.
And what did they tell you on the phone?
That the place was getting raided, and if I could come out and show some support, that would be a great thing.
And how did you show that support?
I came down. I tried to discuss with a sergeant guy about why it was being called a crime scene. Tried to find out information as to what had changed and how we possibly cooperate with the police.
And what were you told?
I was told that if I didn't move along, that I would be arrested, that I had been given warning and that I had best vacate or I would be arrested.
And you moved along. You were not arrested.
I was not arrested. Actually, everyone, for the most part, did move along, though. They were asked, they were given 15 minutes to remove the tents, and they removed the tents, moved everything across to the other side of the road, at which point there were some arrests here and there for a variety of reasons, mostly people submitting to arrest or asking to be arrested. And then after we had moved to the other side of the road and to the best of our knowledge, we were going to be left alone from that point on. They turned the lights on us and aimed gas canisters at us and told us that we had 10 minutes to disperse, that they had declared it an unlawful assembly, and that anyone who stuck around would be arrested unless we moved south of 6th Street.
And that's what you did?
I actually went across the street and began speaking to some of the media that was covering the event. I did move. A couple of other people moved. There were a couple of people who just sat down and waited to be arrested at that point.
And why did you choose not to be arrested?
Well, for one thing, we did need somebody on the outside to give logistical support, contact lawyers and things like that. With the people who had already been arrested, I knew that there weren't that many people who had the contact information or were going to be taking care of it. So I wanted to make sure that there was somebody on the outside keeping an eye on them and their best interests.
And what does that look like now? Are you on the phone with lawyers and
trying to take care? Support from a couple of local lawyers. We're trying to contact the ACLU as well. I think some of the local lawyers that we're discussing things with are actually associated with the ACLU. We are actually back at the courthouse holding signs. We're not going to leave. There's about maybe 10 of us at the moment. And at the moment, we're trying to figure out exactly who is on the inside, who did get arrested, who did leave, and what we can do to help them out at the moment, as well as what they're being charged with.
And I was told by the police chief earlier this morning that you can stay out there as long as you want, as long as you don't camp.
Well, then why were we arrested when we moved across the street? That's my question. We were actually given a letter by the COA that if the tents were removed, that we would be allowed to stay. Yet when we did remove the tents and when we complied and cooperated with the cops in every way that they asked us, they just continued to ask us to disperse, to leave, and to continue to threaten us with arrest.
And I was told that there is a security officer out there now.
There's been a security officer here for about 2 weeks now, though.
And do you have a friendly relationship with that person?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I know that we've had a pretty friendly relationship with a lot of the correctional officers that work at the correctional facility. They walk past on their breaks, and they've been pretty friendly. But I've never spoken personally to the security officer here.
Merle Harpum told me that Redwood Curtain Cop Watch showed up at some point and stirred up trouble a little bit. Is that how you view it? Did that happen?
There was definitely some name calling. There was, you know, that's one thing. I would think that police are disciplined enough that, you know, at one point there was somebody who said a couple of disparaging remarks about a couple of the police officers, and they ended up charging him. And, you know, I'm not really sure if that shows a discipline in the local police force or not, but I don't think that, you know, there was nobody being in any way violent. There was nobody throwing anything. There was no acts of aggression. For the most part, people were being very compliant. But there were a lot of people who were angry and were voicing their anger or their dissent.
Now that this has happened and you're out there again, how long do you plan on staying out there?
I don't think anyone's really planning on leaving. It doesn't really matter what we have to put up with. We will stay. I think that if they continue to come out and arrest us, there will still be support and people here. In fact, at the moment, Occupy Humboldt and Occupy Arcata are trying to put together a march of solidarity to come down here to Eureka to show that we are all in this together and that this is not some isolated small group that will be left behind by the rest of the individuals who are involved in this movement, and that there is a decent amount of community support. Now, there might be some people in the community who aren't really that happy with it, and we understand that. We know that not everybody's on our side, but people continue honking, people continue saying great things about us as well. And, we're not going to be swayed by a simple act like this. The idea of regaining power in our own government, retaking democracy, and it's just a little too strong for a lot of these people. They really do believe in it.
And the Times-Standard ran a story over the weekend about the Eureka police calling some of the protesters aggressive, and there was an idea that people were being approached at ATMs, and certainly that incident with KIM and Betsy Lambert. Mm-hmm. Are you aware that people were approaching people at ATMs, or do you know anything about that?
I didn't know anything about that until I was told about that last night by Betsy, actually. That was who I was speaking to while the arrests were going down. I am unaware of what the veracity of those comments. I can't really comment on it myself. I do know that, we have been trying to police ourselves because we've been attracting a lot of attention from pretty much anybody. As people get out of the prison, they kind of walk past and ask us what's going on. So, there have been individuals that we've asked to leave because of one problem or another. And we have basically kicked out certain individuals for being problems. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't other individuals who might come and cause problems. And there might be individuals who choose to act on their own initiative outside of the greater scope of the group and outside of the ideals of peaceful protest and community communication and cooperation. But I don't think that we should be held liable for the actions of the few.
And just out of curiosity, these people that you mentioned that were kicked out, can you give me an example of why they were kicked out?
I can tell you, I was actually here all night a couple nights ago. Four or five nights ago, I can't really say for sure when, and there was somebody who had a concealed bottle of alcohol. They weren't somebody I recognized. They weren't somebody who had been here on a regular basis. They were just somebody who had wandered up and decided to hang out with the group and thought that they could get drunk, and I told them that that was not allowed here, that that was not acceptable, and to please move along. And it was a short conversation that was bordering on an argument until I finally convinced him that, I realized that he might have lived here all of his life and that he might have been used to drinking wherever he wanted to, but because of what was happening here, we were not going to accept that.
And just on just so I understand who you are, how can you do this? Do you have a job, or how do you hang out there on the corner?
Well, I don't hang out here on the corner all the time, and
okay.
I don't sleep here either.
Okay.
Actually last week, part of the reason a lot of these allegations that are coming out right now and that I'm hearing about for the first time last night or today, part of the reason I'm just hearing about them is because I spent last week actually at a couple of different job interviews as well as topping off job applications. And so because of those responsibilities, that is part of the reason why I was here during the night. During the day, I was busy doing responsible things that I needed to take care of. And, my only free time to help out was 8, 9 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'd come down and hang out for a couple of hours or bring coffee or clothes or some other way of helping and showing a little bit of support.
And I'm getting word of some sort of march later today. Is that true? Do you know
about
that?
There is a march. Yeah, Occupy Humboldt and Occupy Arcata are coming down. As I said, They're planning it at 2:45. They're going to be meeting up at the Plaza in Arcata, and then they are going to march on in us down to Eureka to show support.
And now that you say that you will be there for the foreseeable future, and the idea is that you won't camp, is that something that you will comply with so there are no more arrests?
I'm not sure exactly. I can't speak for the group as a whole. Right now, we're trying to figure out a lot of different things. In fact, with the arrests that occurred last night, there's a lot of people who are going to have some sort of voice in that conversation. Because this is a consensus-based group, because the idea of this movement is consensus-based, I really can't say for sure if there will be people who will want to not comply with that, whether we will comply with that, or in what way we'll try to find some sort of level of cooperation. Now, because of the way that this is not necessarily a protest. This is more of a demonstration. This is about trying to realign the people with democratic ideals and energize the population, re-educate the population as to how to participate properly with government, and to a certain extent, re-educate government as to how to properly participate with its citizens, because it's something that hasn't really been happening in a lot of people's eyes lately. As a result, it is something that, for a wide variety of reasons, has to happen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until we see larger change within the greater political sphere. The idea of not providing shelter or food or energy so that we can properly communicate with other groups in other areas, the idea that we're not allowed to provide bathrooms for people during the night so that we have no choice but to find local businesses that might be 24 hours that would allow us to use their bathrooms. I know that was one of the complaints they had with us, but we actually approached them about getting a bathroom because we had the funds necessary to rent a porta potty, and we were denied that. We just want to be able to provide decent social living environment while we try to demonstrate and protest what we are protesting and demonstrate what we're trying to demonstrate. If we can't provide a decent quality, I mean, that to me is kind of a strange thing, that the city would be unwilling to allow us to provide shelter, especially in the rainy season with the cold. You know, having a little bit of warmth inside of a tent, having some electricity or some type of gas heater, being able to provide a bathroom so that people aren't holding it in or running all over the place trying to find some place to relieve themselves.
Where are you going to the bathroom?
Me personally, I usually walk down to Shell, but I don't think that they, you know, I have the money to buy things there on occasion, so I always go in and I use the restroom, or I go home and I use the restroom. Not everybody here has that option.
Would you be willing to let people from the demonstration go to your house and use the bathroom?
It's a long walk for them just to use the bathroom.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure it out. Okay. That's all. Well, it sounds as though things have changed in your world, but you are determined to stay out there. So would you keep me posted as things develop? I'll give you my cell number, and you can give me a call at any hour if things start to change again.
That sounds great. You have mine, if you could just text that to me?
Yeah, I will do that. All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right,
see you.
Thank you.
Bye, Alex. That is
Bye-bye.
Alex Krug. He is part of Occupy Eureka, and he's out there right now at the courthouse. And you can read more about this through the Times Standard. They have an article about what happened earlier this morning before sunrise. Coming up in a couple of minutes, it will be Things You Should Know on 94.1 KSLX.